surpassed New York as the third largest state.
Scott attributes the state growth to its low taxes and business-friendly climate. Others point to Florida's mild weather. Greg Allen, NPR News, Miami.
This is Morning Edition.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. The U.S. trade deficit fell in November to the lowest level in 11 months as crude oil imports dropped to a two-decade low. The Commerce Department today says the trade deficit narrowed to $39 billion in November. That's down 7.7% from October. U.S. exports slipped 1% to $196.4 billion. Imports dropped even faster, falling 2.2% to $235.4 billion, primarily a reflection of foreign oil declines. The volume of crude imported in November hit its lowest level since 1994, while the average price dropped to a two-year low. A new farm futures survey today suggests that producers are ready to put in even more soybeans in 2015. 88.3 million acres in all, almost 5% more than USDA's current forecast, and nearly 2% more than the August farm futures survey. Some of the ground will come from corn, where plantings could fall to 88.5 million acres, down 2.2% from Farm Futures August estimate and 2.6% less than USDA's current estimate for 2014. Informa Economics projects record amounts of U.S. corn and soybean output for the 14-15 season. Corn production is forecast at 14.425 billion bushels, and soybean output is projected at 3.969 billion bushels. Both of those would be all-time record highs. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading at 17,428, up 138 points. The NASDAQ, 4130, up 28. The S&P 500 is 2010. It's up 16 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner. Good morning, Drew. Hello, Drew. Seem to have lost Drew along the way. We'll go ahead and try to get him on the phone and call him back here in just a moment. We should have Drew on the line now. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, Dave. It is a cold morning, isn't it? I think Winds are blowing pretty good across parts of the Midwest, and it looks like as we go forward through the day today, we're not going to see much of a rise in temperatures. In fact, it will probably hold steady in some locations. Single digits and teens will be common across the northern portions of the Midwest, and we'll probably see temperatures in the southern areas not much warmer than perhaps some teens and 20s during the course of the day today. We've had a little bit of snow occur overnight last night, but we are concerned about the prospects for a little bit of winter wheat kill that may occur tonight and actually for the next two or three nights across the lower parts of the Midwest. Tonight will certainly be coldest. We'll look for readings that will drop down to the negative and positive single-digit readings. This will extend from the south-central portions of Nebraska, north-central and eastern portions of Kansas, eastward into parts of the Ohio Basin. And we are still snow-free this morning in parts of southern Illinois, southwestern Indiana, a fair amount of Kentucky, although it is snowing in Kentucky at this hour. And we also have some pockets that are snow-free out there in portions of Kansas and Nebraska, just a few pockets there, though. I think overall we're talking about a total of maybe 3% of the overall wheat crop out there that is at least vulnerable to some extreme conditions overnight tonight that might bring around a little bit of damage. I am not by any means suggesting 3% of the crop will be lost. That's very much unlikely. It would only be a handful of locations in that 3% of the production region that would actually experience a loss. So we'll watch the situation rather closely, but I think most of the temperatures overnight tonight will be down in the positive and negative single digits in these snow-free areas, and so we'll have to just keep an eye on the situation. Of course, we're going to be very cold all day today, so the crown of these plants will continue to cool as we go forward through this period of time. There's not much precipitation expected in any of the major U.S. crop areas for a while. I think we can probably go a week and a half without much in the way of significant precipitation. And that will be, I suppose, somewhat helpful for some of the southern parts of the country down in the lower Mississippi River Basin, Tennessee River Basin, and parts of the southeast where there's been a lot of heavy rain in recent weeks and some flooding in those areas. Well, the focus of market attention today isn't so much on the U.S. cold, although there is certainly some worry about the wheat crop, as we've already discussed. But there's still a lot of attention on South America, in particular Brazil. Brazil is going to continue to experience a drying tendency for at least the next 10 days across a big part of the country, from southern parts of Mato Grosso and northern portions of Mato Grosso to Sul, straight eastward into portions of Minas Gerais and Sao Paulo, and even northeastward into Bahia. It's a large area of real estate, but a big part of that region has abundant subsoil moisture, and it will take at least a full week to maybe 10 days for the topsoil to firm up enough to start warranting a little concern about stress. The exception of that is in Bahia and Minas Gerais, those two northeasternmost states. We'll see some stress before that time, but those areas don't produce a huge amount of summer crop either. So the bottom line is that there's not a lot of urgency and concern over the drying trend in Brazil unless this pattern prevails into late January. So we'll continue to watch it rather closely. Until we get to that point, though, everything looks pretty much like roses to me across a big part of the country. There will be some concern, though, over coffee and some sugarcane, though, in those northeastern parts of Brazil. Also in Argentina, everything looks just about ideal right now. All the major crop areas have plenty of moisture, and we'll see temperatures near to above average. The end result is going to be a very high production potential, and that pattern doesn't look like it's going to change anytime real soon. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural weather comes from the Friends of WILL. And from Busey, with strategy planning for future generations to fit individual needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Here are how futures are traded. Hard red winter March wheat, 626 and a half, down 4 3/4. Soft March, 586, down 5 3/4. March corn, 401 1/4, down 3 3/4. January soybeans, 1049 and a half, down 1 1/2. January soybean oil, 33, up 31. And February live cattle is 165.80. They're down 22 1/2. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you again.
What are the key features as we rumble ahead toward Monday's reports?
Short term, I think Drew kind of nailed it as far as South American weather, trying to keep a handle on that for the next 10 days or 2 weeks. And then some position squaring. I think, you know, the bean market has been contained in this range for an extended period of time, tried to probe to the upside yesterday. It doesn't seem to have the impetus to follow through, so we'll watch and see. And as far as the corn market is concerned, I'd say watch your river freeze up a little bit north, watch the basis levels, and then also watching your RINs and your ethanol production. One of the things now that, you know, the price of the ethanol is high enough that it's probably starting to price itself out of the domestic consumption, will we see a reduction in production levels? And this morning is probably one of the first opportunities we could see that.
Is end users bought up, or are they in need?
Right now, I'd say they're probably bought up for a reasonable amount of time, but given this cold weather snap and the slow logistical situation we could be in for the next week or 10 days, week or so, they're probably going to push basis on the interior markets just a little bit. So they're satisfied, but they're going to push to get a little bit more in because we just don't know what the end game is going to be yet.
All right, Bill. Thanks much.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Current tick in the marketplace. March corn is 401 down 4, July 416 down 4 and a quarter, December 424 and a half down 3 and 3 quarters, January soybeans 1049 and a quarter down 1 and 3 quarters, July 1063 and a quarter down 2 and 3 quarters, November 1024 and 3 quarters down 4, January soybean meal 368.80 down $2, January soybean oil 32.98 up 29, February live cattle 165.72 and a half down 30, and January feeders are 224.02 and a half, they're down 67 and a half. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.